not needed. We're not asking for it. And just leave it in the vault, girly. Hola, and welcome back to Boss Memos. In this episode, as a Swiftie, I have to talk about the life of a showgirl, Taylor Swift's most recent album, and my thoughts on it. But mostly my thoughts in the context of Taylor Swift being a billionaire. I briefly mentioned this in the last episode where I kind of speculated on how the album might impact us linguistically as a culture. But in this episode, I want to focus on the money and some of the songs in the context of that, in the context of her wealth. What is she doing with her wealth? And is there such thing as an ethical billionaire? I also want to talk about this cardigan that I'm wearing, which was my project for the last 2 weeks to celebrate the album. Like I said, I am a Swiftie through and through. The album has been on repeat, both streaming and I own physical copies. I just have mixed feelings, and I'm sure many people do. So let's get into it. All right, so the cardigan. If you're watching the video, you will see my beautiful bright orange cardigan with 12 stars, 12 granny square stars on the sleeves. The cardigan is inspired by her cardigan merch drop. She has been doing them for pretty much every album, I think, since Red Taylor's version. No, I'm sorry. That's just the first one I bought, since Folklore. So that's a lot of albums. That's a lot of cardigans. And I already bought two of them, so I cannot give this lady more money. I already give her a lot of money. So I knew, one, I'm not going to buy a third cardigan from her. Two, it looked kind of itchy. It's like a sparkly orange, which is very on brand for the album, but did not look very wearable. It also looks kind of stiff in the pictures, and I just knew I could do it better. As a crafty girly, I knew I could do it better, and I took on this huge project. Basically, right after I saw the cardigan drop, I was like, bet, I will make my own. I did not finish by the time the album was released. I wanted to finish before the album came out, but I was crocheting for 4 to 6 hours per day, every day, since, like, Friday, like, the 19th or something. As September 19th. So it was too much. I finished just yesterday when I'm recording this. So that was October 7th. And yeah, it feels good. The reason I don't do big crochet projects is because it takes over my brain and I cannot do anything except work on the crochet project and finish it. The last crochet project I did was a mesh bolero, which only took a weekend to finish. And that whole weekend, it was all I could do. It was work on the bolero. I have to finish the bolero one more round and then I'll go to bed. And that's what was happening with this cardigan for 2.5 weeks straight. And so when I finished it, it was like almost euphoric. I finally could think again. I mean, it was nice. It was nice to just like be in crochet land, and nothing's wrong in crochet land. Like, there's no ICE agents, there's no billionaires, there's no climate change or hunger. It's just gotta do one more row. So yeah, good and bad things about being completely absorbed in a project. The blog post is coming out soon. It's not gonna be a pattern. I am not a crochet patternist, but it is a compilation of my thoughts and my struggles and the videos that helped me make it. So if you want to make your own beautiful bright orange cardigan, oh my gosh, if you're watching the video, you didn't even see the showgirl buttons. The showgirl buttons, they are sparkly, floral, everything a showgirl would want in a cardigan and more. So I had a lot of fun making it. And then, I mean, yes, I wanted to finish before the album came out, but it was nice to like crochet while listening to the album and think about what I think about the album. So with that, let's get into my album review. I'm giving it a 7.5 out of 10 because there are four tracks here that I'm not the biggest fan of. My top track is Elizabeth Taylor. I will be banging my head in the car to that one. I will scream it from the top of my lungs. I love listening to it in the shower. Great song. And kind of what I was expecting from the album, because it is about a, quote, showgirl. It is the behind the scenes of that showgirl's life. It is a banger, like she promised on the podcast. And yeah, I was setting high expectations for the rest of the album being at track number two. Opalite's another one of my top ones. I love the messaging of this. It's hyper positive. I am a pop girly. Like, I like my pop to be uplifting, fun, catchy, something I can sing along to, something I can blast at maximum volume. So a lot of these tracks do give that. That's also Ophelia, Wood, Honey even. But then we get into the more like confusing pop, which I like it, but I'm just not sure if it's what I was expecting. Father Figure's really growing on me. Ruin the Friendship is fun, but then she kind of ruins the song by making it so dark in the middle. so if you haven't listened to that one, who am I kidding? Everyone that's watching this podcast has listened to it. That one, I like it. I do. But I have to kind of turn my brain off. And that's a lot of these songs. It's like, if you think about it too much, then it ruins it for you. Same thing with Actually Romantic. I think it's fun. I know it's about Charlie XCX. I know the beef behind it. Honestly, I think it's fair for Taylor Swift to put out her response to a song that's about her. Even if it is just Charlie venting about her insecurities, it was still saying some kind of mean things. And I think Taylor has the right to respond to things like that. She is also a musical artist. And if anything, it only gives Charlie more streams, more attention. So I don't think it's really bad for either of them to be having a beef. I don't think it will end either of them. And yeah, I think it's still a fun song. So that's Actually Romantic. The Life of a Showgirl is kind of one of the, like, towards the bottom of my list. I just am surprised that it's not a more, like, fun song. Like, I was kind of expecting a Sabrina Carpenter moment, like House Tour or Juno. I don't know. Or even Taste. Like, kind of like one of Sabrina's top songs. That's kind of what I was expecting for this one. But it ended up being more just slower, storied, and it only picks up at the very end. So, and I don't think Sabrina Carpenter has a writing credit. So she literally is just featured on the song. She didn't write any part of it, as far as I know, which I think is why it doesn't really feel like a Sabrina Carpenter song. And there isn't much Sabrina Carpenter influence besides her voice. So it's a good song, but it's on the lower end. And then I'm giving the side eye to Cancelled. I'll get into it more, but it's just not the right time for Taylor Swift to be releasing a song like that. Same thing with Wishlist. I don't know. I don't think she has any people telling her no. I think she has publicists that will clean things up for her. And I know she's had her, like, same publicist treat Payne for a long time. I don't think she's telling her no on anything, because why would she put out Cancelled and Wishlist? I don't get it. And then Eldest Daughter. I really want to like this song as an eldest daughter myself. I think it's got a lot of strong lines sprinkled in there. Like, I have been afflicted by a terminal uniqueness. I feel that to my core. I am constantly, like, just, I don't even do it, like, to seem cool, which is where she loses me a little bit on this song. I just do it because I always had to be the template. I always had to be charting my own path or blazing my own trail. And so I really like that line. I think the bridge is really strong on this song. It's not her most mind-blowing bridge, but it is just hard to even get to the bridge through all of the internet slang that's thrown in here, through the dated slang. I'm not a bad bitch and this isn't savage just completely pulls me out of the story she's trying to tell. And there's other ways to say that. So that's my ranking of the album. Wood is, like, in my top, okay? Like, people are mad that it's a horny song or a sexual song. I don't even think it's that sexual. Like, she's got a few, like, wink, wink lines, but it's just fun. So I'm bopping along, okay? She's 30 and engaged. Let her live her life. So now is the part where we should stop letting her live her life a little bit, and we need to be a little more critical. And I want to talk about her status as a billionaire. Like, somebody commented on my last video, but Taylor Swift might be more of an ethical billionaire. And I'm going to go through why it's just not possible for her to be an ethical person and be a billionaire at the same time. There are a couple major buckets I have here: philanthropy, the wage gap, sustainability, and politics. And so first up, philanthropy. Yes, Taylor Swift does donate to charities and nonprofits. She donates to food banks, sexual assault nonprofits, a lot of disaster relief efforts, and then oddly, individual fans via like GoFundMe type things for college or medical bills, or even during COVID, she gave some fans, individual fans, like donations. And I'll link all of the articles that I'm referencing here, but her largest donation as of late that I could find was a $5 million donation to hurricane relief from Hurricane Helene and Milton in 2024. And yes, these are great things. Billionaires need to be active in redistributing their wealth. And the reason that what Taylor Swift is doing is kind of missing the mark is because it's not enough, for one. And then for two, she just is not taking enough initiative on this. And I will say, she only recently became a billionaire. In 2020, she had a net worth of $365 million. And then due to very successful albums, the Eras Tour, and, you know, she just keeps going and going and going, now she's worth an estimated of $2 billion in 2025. So that is a crazy jump. And what she was doing before 2020 probably was, like, comparable to her wealth. And now she's in a different bracket, and she needs to follow some templates that are set by other people in that same wealth bracket. So let's talk about some comparable artists. And I was researching Jeff Bezos and Musk, like, in their philanthropic efforts. But first of all, they are, like, hundreds of billions. That's their net worth. And so it's not really fair to compare Taylor Swift, who just became a billionaire, to these men who have been billionaires for a long time and are in a completely different astronomical scale. And they are also, their charitable efforts are abysmal, or on the worst end of it, completely corrupt. So that's a whole video in itself. I don't want to talk about them. They're horrible people. So they are evil. I'm not saying Taylor Swift is evil. I don't think she wants to be evil. And so that's why I'm hoping with some time, she will find a way to do the right thing here or advocate more for the right thing. So we'll see. But the comparable artists here are Jay-Z, who is worth $2.6 billion, and Rihanna, who's worth $1 billion. So similar net worth, and they're primarily musicians. So if you don't think this is a fair comparison, please give me a fairer one, because I feel like this is the template she should be following. Even in, like, one of her latest interviews, she mentioned that her team and Jay-Z's team are very close. So I'm hoping, like, she does have connections to these people and that they will influence her to do the right thing. So recently in 2024, Jay-Z donated $300 million in scholarships to underprivileged kids in Philadelphia. I think this is a great example of what we should be expecting from Taylor Swift in the near future, to, like, now, because she is all for, like, music education. With this album rollout, she has talked about how she wants to, like, give her Swiftie fans an art education with the Fate of Ophelia song and the artwork connected to the cover of the album, all the references she makes, like, to art in general within her discography. She should be all about funding the arts, funding education, and making scholarships. So I am expecting her to do something like this, to have a scholarship foundation and to be actively promoting education in the arts. Rihanna has her own foundation. I think Jay-Z has his own foundation too. And notably, Taylor Swift does not have a charitable foundation yet. I think it is early. She is early in this amount of wealth, and I think she could take steps to do the right thing and open her own foundation or work super closely with a foundation that already exists. But anyway, so Rihanna started her foundation with a $500,000 contribution after her grandmother died of cancer in 2012. And it's called the Clara Lionel Foundation after her two grandparents. And she continues to give. Most recently, she gave $15 million to climate justice in 2022. So that's the kind of donations I'm expecting from Taylor Swift. Upwards of $10 million to up to hundreds of millions of dollars, because that's the level of wealth we're talking about. And that's also the level of wealth that she will make back in a weekend. For example, this last weekend with her box office debut of the Fate of Ophelia music video, the release party of a showgirl, it grossed $34 million at the box office in one weekend. So she can afford a $15 million annual donation to a charitable cause. That is something that should be a no-brainer for her, but we've only seen a couple million as her highest donation, $5 million as her highest donation. So she could be doing more, and she needs to open or collaborate with a charitable foundation. Another thing is, like, another example she could look to is Dolly Parton, who is an artist, a musical artist, and she has not even made it to billionaire status, which people speculate that this is largely due to the amount of money that she's given away. And that's why it's a problem. I've seen arguments against, like, all billionaires are evil, eat the rich, blah, blah, blah. Like, people are like, well, why are you drawing the line at billionaire? Why not the $999 millionaires? Why not the $500 millionaire? Like, you know what I'm saying? People are like, why are you drawing the line at billion? It's because if you make it to $1 billion, you have not tried at all to rein in your wealth. You have not tried at all to give your wealth away. And if you had, you wouldn't have made it to billionaire status. So that's my issue, and that's why I feel very comfortable drawing the line at billionaires. There's only about 3,000 billionaires in the world. So it's also a very small population. It's, in my mind, an easy group to target. Then once we've worked on that issue with having 3,000 billionaires out there, then we can look at the $900 million people. So that's where I draw the line, and I feel comfortable doing that. So I really think Taylor Swift could be looking at Dolly Parton as an example of someone who is almost equally known for their artistry and for their charity and their philanthropy. I don't know why Taylor Swift wouldn't want to be known for her philanthropy. It's honestly kind of hard to find, like, what she's done philanthropically. It's hard to say that word. Because she doesn't do it very often. So I feel like when I search Taylor Swift, it should not be hard to see what she's been doing, see what she's been up to in terms of charitable donations. And yeah, like, and I think Jay-Z and Rihanna are a very fair comparison. So we'll keep going here. Wage gap. So on the Eras tour, Taylor Swift famously gave her truck drivers $100,000 bonuses. I think that's great. Yes, all of her staff should be paid way above par. They're working for one of the wealthiest artists, one of the most famous artists. So yes, I think that was a great step in the right direction. But there are also so many people that were not on Taylor Swift's like payroll that she could not possibly even impact, really. Like, think about how each stadium she went to had probably hundreds of local staffers and security who were like running the concessions, running the tickets, like helping people to their seats, controlling the crowd, even controlling like the parking lot. And there's just no way she could have paid everyone that made the Eras Tour success fairly, which is why we say there's no such thing as an ethical billionaire, because to make that amount of money, somebody along the chain is exploited. Somebody is making minimum wage. Somebody is putting in overtime hours, and their labor is being exploited so that the person at the top, Taylor Swift, makes billions or millions, hundreds of millions, you know? So that's why that doesn't just cover her ass by paying her truck drivers a bonus, because there are... and it doesn't even get into the fact that her merch is manufactured overseas, likely with labor that's also way underpaid, way undervalued. I mean, her records, like all of her merch, it's just there is going to be inevitably somebody who is contributing to Taylor Swift's wealth that is being exploited. So, yeah, like, and... if she cared about this cause of, like, decreasing the wealth inequality in America, in even in her industry, she could follow what other artists have been doing, which I saw an article, like, Charlie XCX, Sabrina Carpenter, Noah Kahan, they all donated $25,000 towards healthcare for struggling artists. Chapel Roan dedicated one of her, like, award speeches to this topic. Taylor Swift does not talk about politics when she's receiving her flowers, okay? she loves to hint towards her next album. She loves to thank her producers and her boyfriend slash fiance, but she is not giving up that airtime to talk about those charitable causes or the things that are most important to her in the industry even. So, I don't know, like, I see, like, an up-and-comer, like, Chapel Roan, dedicating her precious airtime to talk about how artists need to have healthcare, and then Taylor Swift's not. And it's not a good look. I don't know why she wouldn't want to be more of an advocate for things that aren't even that polarizing, like, things that are industry-specific. Like, that is just bare minimum. In my mind, she should be advocating for other artists. And it's because... she did not have to struggle. Like, people forget she comes from wealth. She was not just, like, out there in rural America, like Chapel Roan, who literally had to go back to working in fast food because her label dropped her. That is a completely different story than Taylor Swift, who was constantly supported by her family. She had money. She was able to put in the time because she had the resources. So it's not a pretty picture, and I would think that she would want to give back a little more than she is. So then on to the next thing, sustainability. So there was the whole scandal with her private jet and the amount of carbon she was causing from that alone. Also the fact that the Eras Tour was such a huge tour that also had a lot of carbon emissions. She did buy carbon offsets. It's hard to tell because, again, like, these kind of things just get quietly published. They don't really get blasted everywhere, as if, like, she's not proud of it or she's doing the minimum, maybe. So I found, like, a spokesperson told AP she purchased double the carbon credits to offset the emissions generated by her Eras Tour. And it was hard to tell if that was, like, just the stadiums. It definitely included, like, the flights. But I don't even know what that covers. So it was very vague. It was very hard to find the quote or, like, who was saying that. So, and honestly, carbon credits, that's the minimum, right? We can always be doing more up front. Carbon credits is like a Band-Aid a reactive thing. So a great example in the industry, another artist is Billie Eilish. She's well known. Like, I didn't even have to think. I was like, oh yeah, Billie Eilish. She is driving this sustainability effort in touring, in merch. She actually had, I think, only plant-based meals offered to her crew during the tour. She just has sustainable packaging. She had things shrink-wrapped in, like, a sugarcane alternative. Like, she's going above and beyond. And it's not all coming from her. She has partnered with companies that specialize in this. So it doesn't have to be an extra workload on the artist or the artist team. You can outsource all of this planning to companies that specialize in it. But it's because you have to have that initiative to actually do it. And another thing I know Taylor Swift would never compromise on is Billie Eilish advocated for just having less merch. It's okay to sell it out, especially if you know that these t-shirts are high quality. They're not going to just fall apart. There were complaints about the Eras Tour merch where, like, the vinyl decal was, like, peeling or cracking. And Taylor Swift's merch is known to be kind of low quality sometimes or not hitting the mark. So just investing in actually good quality merch that you know is manufactured at reputable places, maybe even the U.S. Like, I know, like, there was all this, like, good publicity about the Eras Tour, like, uplifting the economies of the cities it went to. What if Taylor Swift actually, like, was creating jobs, like, real long-lasting jobs by having a merch factory in the U.S., right? So these are just ideas based on comparable artists. It doesn't have to be hard for a billionaire to make some real efforts towards sustainability. And then politics is the one place where I think Taylor Swift is doing, like, maybe above average. I don't know. Like, she did endorse Kamala Harris in the 2024 election, which obviously, like, our big billionaire boys, Bezos and Musk, just, like, completely are at the hands and mercy of Donald Trump. I think they were at his inauguration. Elon Musk obviously played a huge part in the Trump administration early on. So those guys are way corrupt and obviously don't support taxing the wealthy. Trump doesn't support that. That would go against everything he stands for, which is corruption and increasing the wealth of the wealthy. So I think Taylor Swift does have this idea of what's good for our country, what she wants to see for our country. She wants to see progress and progressive policies that help struggling Americans, that help the middle class. So she has that in her. And in her Miss Americana documentary, she talked about how hard it was for her to endorse someone politically because her base is mixed. She has a wide appeal, and she didn't want to sacrifice that or alienate people that listened to her music because she was venturing into the political realm. But honestly, it's just unethical to not say anything. And that's why, again, there is no such thing as an ethical billionaire. Like, if she isn't constantly advocating for climate justice, for, like, helping the poor, for, like, if she isn't on all of these issues all the time, she's not doing enough. And because she has the money to actually make a difference. So that's why it's basically impossible to be an ethical billionaire, because you'd have to make your whole job being an ethical billionaire. And I'm not asking Taylor to do that. I want her to, like, focus on her music. I like listening to her music. Obviously, her job is not to be an ethical billionaire, which is why I would say she needs to get out of that billionaire status by giving away her wealth, by redistributing the wealth. And that's what Harris's policies would have done for her. Like, if we actually imposed a tax on the wealthy class, on the billionaire class, and this is not an abstract notion, the highest income bracket used to be taxed at, like, I want to say 90%. Like, it has just gone down and down and down for decades now. So it is not inconceivable to have a tax system that just, boop, once you're here, your income is taxed at 100%. So that's why it's not that outlandish. And if she wants to be an ethical billionaire, she should be advocating to be taxed at 100% past a certain level of income. So that's all I have on actually the deep dive on billionaire status. I want to tie it back to the album, the showgirl of it all. I already talked about the $34 million at the box office, which is crazy. Like, that doesn't even account for how much money she's making off of the album. She broke the record. She's broken multiple records. I don't even know what all of them are, but she's made a shit ton of money from this album in just the first week alone. And that's not even to say, like, she hasn't, I don't think she's even released, like, t-shirts for it. So there is a lot more money on the table that is coming her way. And I want to know what she's going to do with it. I want her to make a real difference. Another issue I have with this album rollout is AI use in some of these promotional materials. It's kind of going under the radar, but it's because we don't criticize our girly enough. She had all these doors out in different cities, and when you scan the QR code, it took you to a video that was supposed to be full of Easter eggs. But these videos were pretty clearly AI generated. There's very glaring errors. It's not just CGI. If it is CGI, it's heavily assisted by AI. And that just goes against everything Taylor Swift is talking about in these recent interviews with buying back her masters and being able to own her work. And yeah, like, I just can't fathom how her team did not have it in, like, the contract, do not use AI on this project, because I doubt that it really was coming from, like, internal. I'm sure they, like, leased it out or, like, contracted it out to a experiential marketing company. But it's just very disappointing that they would allow that AI use in this to be tied to this album. So that was very confusing and disappointing, and I really didn't want to believe it, but when you look at the videos, it's really hard to deny that there's AI used in them. So I'm disappointed about that. Obviously, the photo shoot doesn't really match the vibe of the album. I don't really care about that. People are mad. I'm just here for the music. I'm having fun with it. But I want to talk about Wishlist again. Wishlist is a song about, instead of having conspicuous consumption, she wants a simple life. She wants to have babies. She wants to be left the fuck alone. And it just doesn't make sense coming from a billionaire. She wears outfits worth thousands of dollars. She does have those Balenci shades. I don't know what she's saying that she doesn't want them. She's been on the yachts. Like, she has a private jet. She has multiple mansions. I don't know what she's talking about when she says, I don't want all that, I just want you. Like, but she did. She did want all of that at one point, and she still has all of it. So it's either saying, like, I already have all that, so now I want you, or it's saying, I don't want that, but it's not true. So I don't get it. I don't get how her publicist let her put that out there. And it's just, it reminds me of the scene in the Barbie movie when Margot Robbie is, like, crying. She's like, I'm not stereotypical Barbie pretty. And then there's, like, the note coming from off screen that's like, note to the filmmakers, Margot Robbie is the wrong person to cast if you want to make this point. Taylor Swift is the wrong person to cast if you want to make this point. If it was coming from some indie artist that was like, had no money, it would be romantic. It would. It's like, I don't want material things, I just want you. But Taylor is a material girl. So it doesn't make a lot of sense, and it just kind of sounds cringe. And the only thing that saves it is if you turn your brain off and just, like, listen and don't think about the lyrics at all. Which is sad, because I love knowing the lyrics. So, struggling with Wishlist, I don't think it's in my replay queue, unfortunately, after I've thought about it. it's just not it. And then the last song I want to talk about again is Canceled. Canceled is supposed to be in defense of women who are under unfair public scrutiny because they are women, right? She has the line in there that said, "Did you make a joke only a man could?" And yes, I love that. There are a lot of women that are just taken down just because they're women. But then she has that contrasted with the line, "I like him cloaked in Gucci and in Scandal," which implies this is an album for the rich girlies, or this is an anthem for the rich girlies. And I don't think that's a good look in this day and age either. One, it's too easily co-opted by groups that need to be canceled. Like the J.K. Rowling stans are already like, "I like my books canceled." No, there is a reason J.K. Rowling is canceled. And she's not making jokes only a man could. She's making transphobic statements. So that's an issue. Then it's being co-opted by the MAGA people. That's like, oh, she's hanging out with Brittany Mahomes and all of those people. Yes, she is. That's a problem too. But it is her circle that she has been thrust into. The NFL is a deeply racist organization. It has a lot of wealthy people. Most wealthy people don't support taxing the rich. So she is an anomaly there. And maybe it's kind of good that she's hanging out with these people. If that comes up, she can advocate for the right thing. I hope that she's having real conversations with these people about it. She's probably not. But if she wanted to be an ethical billionaire, she would. So those are some issues I have with the song. In the movie, she tried to make it relatable to everybody. This is what she said. "Being canceled is something everyone goes through now. It's not just like a public figure type whatever. It's like people gossiping about you in your town, negative comments you read on your Instagram. You can literally feel canceled by any sort of social backlash that you get." That's not true. Most people do not feel canceled on the day to day. They don't get negative comments on their Instagram. And I guess if they do, they probably did something bad. normal people just aren't getting canceled and then going to lunch with all their other canceled friends and be like, "Haha, this will all blow over in a day." Like, normal people, if they're getting canceled, they're getting fired over Charlie Kirk comments. They're risking their jobs over the Me Too movement and speaking out against, like, higher-ups in their company. And it's not a laugh about it over lunch kind of thing. It's a serious thing. Or they're getting canceled for worse things, like things they actually should be fired for. And that's not really funny either. So I don't know. If normal people are getting canceled, it's actually for like serious reasons, legitimate or not. So I just don't really understand what she meant by that. Like, it's not relatable. And I talked about this, like, in the episode before this one. I was like, what part of Showgirl really is going to be relatable? Because most people are not showgirls. And Taylor Swift's strength in her writing is the relatability of it. So Wishlist and Canceled are not relatable songs to most people. And they are so far out there that it comes back in a bad way. So honestly, I think the reason she is writing songs like this is because she does not get enough scrutiny. And one thing I've heard her say over and over again on all these interviews she's going on is, "Thank you for that feedback. I love feedback. Feedback is what drives me." That's why she like wanted to work with Max Martin and Shellback, because they like push her. And they make her songs more refined. I think all of these songs, like, if you do shut your brain off and you just listen to it as a pop song and don't think about anything else, most of them really are, like, bangers. And they did deliver on that. It's just, is it coming from the right person? Is it coming at the right time? Did we need it? It was momentary. It was unnecessary. Should have let it stay buried. That's what I would have told her for the song Canceled. That's what I would have told her for Wishlist. not needed. We're not asking for it. And just leave it in the vault, girly. We don't need to hear about it. So that's my thoughts on The Life of a Showgirl. 7.5 out of 10. A lot of issues when you think about it in the context of her being a billionaire. And I really need the girly to step up and be the philanthropist and activist we know she could be, because it's time. It's time. Love you, Taylor. Love the album. But I just need a little bit more from you. So curious to hear your thoughts in the comments, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.